Hi everyone, this is your host, Sam, and you're listening to Wiccan Witch of the South.
Hello everyone, and welcome back for the last time. Now, if you've heard that, and you've read the episode title, you're probably freaking out and going, what do you mean last episode? Well, after a lot of thinking, I have decided to end the podcast with this last episode. It's just kind of time, and I'll get more into the reasons why later. But I really wanted to do something special for the last episode that we did. And I thought, what better way to end it than to have an interview with the first person that I ever interviewed on this podcast. So today I have with me Hannah from Pastor's Kid to Pagan. And we're going to do a check-in interview and kind of almost 2 years later and see where you're at. So Hannah, just introduce yourself, you know, for the last time and kind of tell us who you are. And
hey, I'm Hannah. I'm the best friend. I was a pastor kid. Not anymore. Still not. Still going strong on that streak. And, I'm just here.
Yeah. So last time we talked, you had talked about the fact that you were kind of transitioning from Christianity into paganism. So are you still, do you still consider yourself pagan or?
I don't like to put labels on it anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's just become one of those things where I just believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And that's about it, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It became where it was weighing on me too much. Like, what do I call this?
Yeah.
And then, like, if I picked a certain one, there was communities for it, and I didn't ever really agree with one single community.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stopped caring.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I've been.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Because I feel like that is also kind of where I'm at. Like, I have set with the Wiccan identity, like, when I was going through the process of leaving Christianity and deconstruction and everything. Like, I was a Christian witch before I was a Wiccan. And now, I mean, I'm still Wiccan in the sense that I agree with everything that Wicca holds as a baseline. But in terms of my practice, like, I don't actively as practice as I used to. I think you would probably say the same for yourself, too, right?
Oh, for sure. I don't even have an altar out anymore, really.
Yeah. And why did you make the decision to stop having an altar?
Honestly, I didn't have enough space for it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if it was stopping me from decorating my room, that would make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially, like, your space is supposed to be your safe space.
Yeah.
Then it's not necessarily serving me properly.
Yeah.
And so I also felt like nobody would be offended if I put me first, considering that the overall message usually in someone's enlightenment journey is to put yourself first.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just my spirit guides yelling at me 24/7, but yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone has the same
No, I was about to say, I was kind of similar, and that, I think, a lot of the reason why I made the transition out of, like, organized religion was because I wasn't putting myself first. And it's, like, because I am a solitary Wiccan versus being a part of a coven. I went through that whole song and dance of, like, am I going to, you know, am I going to join a coven? Like, do I need to find a community? And when we first started this podcast was actually, we had found a community locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of changed for us too, as well, because there was a lot of like changes that we won't get into on here, but there was a lot
it's
of...
It's not our business and story to tell.
Yeah, it's not our story to tell. But there was a lot of changes that happened within our community, our pagan community here. And, I mean, now we have a local pagan church that actually has gotten started.
Yeah.
That we participated in the event that I did the reading for that I was advertising. That was actually put on by the pagan church around here. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of changes in, like, the environment that we're at here to the point where I feel like it is more accepting of paganism, a little bit more than it used to be.
There seems to be a lot more people interested in it.
Yeah,
I would say
agree.
Rather than acceptance.
Yeah, I think that would be a better way to put it.
So our numbers have grown. The army has grown.
Yeah, yeah.
The agenda is working.
Yeah, I mean, I constantly will meet people that are witches, actually, in particular, that I'm like, oh, really? Like, and used to, that was just not a thing. You just didn't meet people in environments. Sorry, I have two dogs, and they're deciding that they want to play right now in the middle of this. So, I apologize. But I feel like, yeah, I meet more people now mm-hmm. that are pagans.
Yes.
Than I used to. Or not openly pagan, should I say. There probably were people that...
I'm sure.
...that were, and now it's like it's a little more acceptable to be.
There's a lot more safe spaces, too.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's not like out and about walking around, necessarily.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But like, you know, that one corner of the bookstore. You know the
yeah,
corner.
Yeah, the corner, yeah.
Or like the events we go to.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's just more places for us to be a little more out.
Yeah, and I think that was when, for me, when I started being able to, I guess, engage outside of my own four walls, mm-hmm. was when I stopped needing witchcraft as much
yeah.
within my own four walls, because it's like I could connect with people, like, in a more social sense than I did before. And so my form of worship, so to speak, came from engaging with others. And also for me, and I don't know if you're kind of in this, but this is just kind of how I see it. I will always call myself a witch, even though I don't actively practice magic as much as I used to, because I am at a point in my life where I don't need to ask for things.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I call myself spiritual more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's vague enough.
Yeah.
That's vague enough to keep them wondering. I like to have an air of mystery always.
I love that.
But I don't really have to do rituals or...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to really manifest a lot heavily.
No.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of thought and meditation I still do.
Oh, same here. Yeah.
But I think that's enough for now. I'm not asking for huge things. The
yeah.
things that I were asking for were huge back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. I remember.
You know, I'm not as ambitious. Let's say that.
Yeah. Spiritually ambitious. Because I think for me, like, a huge part of my journey was, I think you can probably agree with this, but we were at a point in both of our lives where we were searching super heavily for, like, meaning and, like, where am I going?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were searching for, like, meaning, I feel like, in the very beginning. And it was because both of us left Christianity at the exact same time. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, but you were the one that introduced me to paganism.
Yeah, I was the little mischievous gremlin. preacher's daughter to the core.
I was about to say, you were the demon that drove me away from heaven.
I found you in the corner, hiding at the party, and I said, you ever heard of devil worship?
Yeah, that's not actually what happened, but just for clarity. But
you ever heard about our Lord and Savior, Satan?
Satan? I have a great story, and this is off topic, but it's so cute. I'll tell it. My niece, my whole family is Christian, right? And so if you were raised Christian, you'll find this funny. But they would explain her to her in very basic terms when she was like 3, 4, you know, like very, mm-hmm. they love to indoctrinate kids early in Christianity.
Yeah.
But, so they were explaining to her the whole point of good and evil. And the way that they did it was like saying like you had Jesus and Satan, right? You know, Satan is bad, doing bad things is Satan, and then doing good things is Jesus.
As the belief in the church.
Right, and so that was how she had boiled it down in her little 4-year-old mind. And so her brother had done something bad and gotten in trouble, and she looks at him and goes like, "Nephew, why do you believe in Satan?" Because in her mind, to do bad things was to believe in Satan. If you're good, you believe in Jesus, and if you're bad, you believe in Satan.
You know what? I had a similar belief system as a child, except it was like football.
Yeah, football. It's very Southern. Yeah.
You know, everyone that was good was on my side.
Yeah.
And everyone that was bad was on my rival side.
Right, yeah. I mean, that was kind of how I viewed it, too, is, like, they were the other, right?
Yeah.
Like, you were taught from a very young age that, like, you had these people who were, like, the other. And it's like, oh, they're all going to hell, so don't associate with them. It was to the point where I wouldn't have friends who were not, like, Christian, because I'd be mm-hmm. like, well, what's the point? They're gonna die and go to hell, and then I'll never get to see them again. I'll feel bad. Like, you know, I ain't witnessing anybody, because I was, like, the way I felt about it growing up is I'm like, I feel like it's a choice, like, because I was raised Southern Baptist, you know,
right.
Salvation was a choice.
Yes.
And it wasn't, I didn't feel that way, like, as I got older, and I think that's some of the reason why I left.
It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, an all-loving God. An all-loving, all-powerful, mm-hmm. all-just God.
Yeah.
Would damn people to hell for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Purely because they made a what would be considered an educated choice.
A choice he forced them to make.
Yes.
Essentially. Yeah.
Like, it's just, that didn't make sense with what I was being taught at all.
No, it doesn't. And I was also raised, and I've gotten into arguments with people about this for, like, ever, but I was raised that when Jesus died, and supposedly died, and for our, you know, our sins, he died for all sin, right? It was, he wiped the slate clean.
Yeah, as far as I was concerned, like, don't they mention past, present, future?
Yeah, past, present, future, all
like,
sins
it's
have been
all
forgiven.
Settled, like there was a whole
it is finished
about
right?
the people in what is mm-hmm. it pronounce it for me?
Purgatory.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a whole thing about
the saints
that
were kept in purgatory in Revelations, yeah.
Like there's a whole thing. It's
yeah.
Whole...
I feel bad for anybody that was not raised Christian because you're probably
you're
all sitting there like, what the crap? Like
you're learning. You yeah. are educating yourself.
Yeah,
on
we're teaching you how to deal with them.
What actually believe in. And
yeah.
if you first thought was were they high? Probably.
You know? Yeah. I mean, there's some things that like I've read over the years. Like the whole thing about hell was actually not. Do you know that hell was not
yeah.
a thing in Judaism? Like
yeah.
old school Judaism. That came later from. I forget what they call it. It's called the Apocrypha of Peter or something like that.
Something
along those lines, but it's like basically like the apocalypse essentially is what it translates to in Latin. And it was a way to scare people into being Christian essentially, because they wanted to justify what happens to people who do bad things, right? Because they but like unfortunately back in the day, it's not the case now, but like Christians were persecuted. They were in the beginning
yeah,
of the religion.
I mean, at the time, if we're counting the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
biblical text to be accurate in
right.
any sense.
Right.
In the time, the whole role in terms of like majority and minority
mm-hmm.
and that type of stuff,
it was different.
Old school
yeah.
Judaism and I think Islam was around then as well, because it's older.
Yeah, Islam is definitely older.
It's an ancient one, because it's...
Yeah, I think it came around the time of Christianity, because I know they have Jesus within there. They believe Jesus was a prophet.
They recognize, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and they were, you know, they were persecuted at the time, and so they wanted, I mean, that's, so if you've heard of the whole, like, gloom and doom thing with Revelations, right, and no one thought the Wiccan podcast was about to educate you on Christianity, but here we are. It was essentially supposed to be, it's originally what it was supposed to be, was a letter to the churches through allegory, saying that Roman was going to get theirs. That Rome was going to get theirs. That's essentially what it was. And it got turned into this big thing of, like, end of times, and then all of the tribulation stuff, and, like, all that crap came from that after. But it wasn't, like, hell wasn't recognized as part of the faith until much, much, much later, in Christianity. And I think that was one of the last things that I had to, like, get through, in order to, like, let go.
Internal damnation is, like, probably the hugest thing to, like, go
through. Yeah, it's the worst.
Because it's not only, like, just the fear of what's been described.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's what could it be?
What could it be, as well as, like, being separated for eternity from your loved ones?
Yeah.
Like, I used to have a theory that, like, hell was being trapped on here.
Yes, on Earth. I agree, because I always used to think, well, so mine was less about hell being trapped here, but more purgatory was here. I always thought that that was, like, how ghosts could be a thing, because I did believe in ghosts, I mean, even when I was, like, a Christian.
Same.
Because I, you know, I was like, okay, well, if we have souls, and souls were a physical thing, right? Which, to be fair, I still believe that. I believe souls are energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to go somewhere, right?
Right.
And so, if it's not going to heaven, and it's not going to hell, being here would make sense as purgatory, because they would be stuck in the place where, you know, whatever torment happened, right? Mm-hmm. And so that made sense to me, like, logically. So I could totally see where you're coming from on that front.
Oh, yeah. Also, the way hell is a cuss word. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. That is wild. But anyway, I think we've educated people enough on Christianity as a whole. That's enough of that.
Welcome to the church.
So, and I think probably most people that, and from interactions that I've had, most people probably understand where I'm coming from when it comes to, like, the church and how the church a lot of the time is rooted in our story as witches and pagans and spiritual people. It's always there somewhere. Like, you don't get to this point without that being, like, you get affected by that at some degree. Either that you've dealt with people that were, even though you weren't, or you were raised in it but didn't really believe it, or you believed it heavily and then, you know, got to this point.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like it's a root for a lot of us. So hopefully...
In the South, it's a social class, in my opinion.
It is. It really is. I mean, I remember saying in the first episode that, like, you could drive down the road here and it's, like, there's, like, 15 churches.
Mm-hmm. My dad on calls Monroe. Them cultural Christians.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's something that's, I think, that's different. Well, it used to be. We can talk about that. But I was going to say it used to be... different about paganism, but I feel like paganism has changed a lot in the few years that we've been doing it. Because what would you say, it's, like, been about 4 years?
I don't like to think about that. I don't like to think about the passing of time. I don't.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we started this.
It's been a long time, but I feel like the internet has made things go by so fast and, like, phases. Of things
and changes so fast. Yeah, and what's interesting to me, which is really crazy because I know a lot of people that I used to follow in the beginning of my deconstruction and my, you know, journey into paganism, the amount of people that have gone from the New Age to conservative Christian, like,
oh,
radical
the alt-right pipeline?
Yeah,
that's
that pipeline.
Crazy to me.
I don't understand it. There's
punk had that weird phenomenon, too. Mm-hmm. Skinheads. Ugh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's insane. I guess I understand where it is, because I guess with the 2020 anti-vax stuff, that kind of starts to blur the lines a little bit.
Yeah, it really
did. But I don't understand how you could go from no connection to that whatsoever to you have now one commonality with these people,
and all of a sudden you're just
a part of it.
Well, I think of, God, what is her name? The lady that used to do the angel cards. Was it Doreen Valentine?
I have no idea.
Oh, God, I forget her name. But there, the lady that did the very famous artist that did the angel cards in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like really, really popular stuff. Around that time that we got into it, because I found out about it through people talking about it. But she had gone alt-right Christian and was renouncing her cards, and like they had to take her name off of all of them. And I feel bad for the publishing company and also the guy who wrote her books, because he still believed in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ended up happening is that he and another person started releasing more angel cards after she left. But, I mean, she became very vocal about how...
That's also another thing, because there's somebody else that we used to follow as well.
No, I don't want to name names.
We're not
going to
name names here, but...
Yeah, just for, like, I don't want anybody to go bullying.
No, but they become extremely vocal.
Yes, yes.
They become extremely vocal, and that's I think, the one part... And you don't even have to be Christian, like, the specific conservative sector that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Become very vocal all
of
a sudden.
Yeah, and they, so with this particular person that we're talking about that we both followed, I remember the part where I lost sympathy for this person. They had changed faiths, and they had always been, so they were in particularly, like, and if you know, you know, it's just one of those things, but I'm not, like I said, I don't want to call anybody out, because I don't want anybody to get bullied.
Mm-hmm.
She was very big in the Christian witch set. That was her thing.
Yeah, it was in the beginning.
Very, very beginning for both me and you.
Yeah.
And that was her thing. She wrote books. She did, like, stuff for, like, Etsy. I mean, she was... Loved her. Absolutely loved her. She was a beautiful person. And I don't know what happened, but there was a point that she ended up converting to Catholicism. And like I said, I have no issue. No issue
that's
whatsoever.
Not the issue at all.
No, it was how she approached everything else outside of that. For one thing, she started, she was very big into a lot of the Eastern medicines, and which is, again, fine, but it was the fact that she would use Eastern medicine, claim everything was demon worship, even though she was doing something that has historically been demonized by Westerners, i.e. Eastern medicine, and then once told a Native person that their smoke cleansing would not get rid of demons, not get rid of anything, and all they needed to do was rely on Jesus. That was when I got upset.
Yes. Like, it's like you can't... It's like you can't join that sector and not just get possessed by a white colonizer.
It really is. Because I feel like I am more accepting of other religions now. And, like, you know... Like, it's so funny because it's, like, culturally, I feel like I became more understanding of other people's spiritual practices and why they matter. Like, I've researched so many different paths, like, over my time, you know, being spiritual.
Well, I feel like it's because, and I don't remember if there's any biblical basis to this at all.
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
There probably isn't.
What I do remember.
Yeah,
right?
There probably isn't.
But there is a huge notion in the church, specifically white churches, because mm-hmm. I have no experience with any other culture.
Right, yeah.
To not even touch or think about anything else.
Yes. So I knew a lady that I worked with that she believed that yoga would invoke the devil. So
they tried to get it banned in schools.
They did. Yeah. So here in like I said, if you follow me on social media, you kind of know what state I live in now. But like here in Alabama, they were trying to introduce yoga as a elective for schools here. Mm-hmm. I believe in like middle school and high school was the goal.
Yeah.
As an elective for health, like they could do it for a health thing. And the reason why it was struggling is because people automatically associated it with the religious aspect of it. And obviously yoga does have root in, you know, I believe it's Hinduism, right? That they,
I think so.
Yeah. Like, listen, this is not an educated, this is us this just is, shooting the shit.
Yeah, we're talking. We're just talking.
Yeah, we're just talking. So don't, this is not like my typical episode where I have everything researched. This is why, kind of going into like why I'm stopping the podcast. A lot of my episodes were heavily researched. Like I would go read books, have notes, have books in front of me, have whole web pages up in front of me. So when I was, you know, recording episodes, I was coming to you guys with a lot of information that was not just me shooting the shit. And so part of the reason why I'm ending the podcast now, just to go ahead and say that, like, I had gotten to a point where it's just too much, I want to deliver a good product to my audience. Mm-hmm. Like I developed, you know, an audience, I developed like, you know, a group of listeners that I would interact with. And for me personally, I felt bad about not having good quality episodes where I had researched everything and I was bringing something like meaningful to the table, because there's so many podcasts out there where it's just somebody and their opinion. And I didn't want that. My whole point of starting this podcast was to bring education about Wicca in the sense that, like, and we can talk about this, like, especially with the demonization of Wicca, mm-hmm. and other organized pagan religions within mm-hmm. the pagan community. But I saw that and I wanted to change it, because it's like, once I read it and I studied it, I really felt like people weren't reading and studying and like educating themselves. And I wanted to change that. Like, that was the reason why I started my Wheel of the Year series. It was, you know, why everything had a topic, why I listed books mm-hmm. and references down in, you know, the description. And it was just now in where I'm at in my life, I'm not as heavily, like, as we were kind of talking about earlier, I'm not as heavily involved in magic as I used to be. And not that I don't have knowledge or information, or I couldn't find books and, you know, such. It's more of just like I've mentioned before that, you know, I've gone back to school, you know, I have a relationship, I work full time, you know, and so there's a lot of aspects to my life that kind of take up my time, and I don't have enough, I generally just don't have enough time to dedicate to provide a good product mm-hmm. to my listeners. And that I would rather end the podcast on a good note
for sure
than try to keep going and it'd be half-assed.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, when you think about like shows, right? That's 1 second season that they just turned out.
Yeah, and you're like, and please stop.
The show for you.
Supernatural, perfect example.
That one extra season just absolutely ruins the show for you.
It does. I stopped watching, I think, when was it? The Darkness. When Darkness came in for Supernatural. Oh my God. If you're a Supernatural fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because they continue that show way too freaking long. But yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like, I would rather, I can't adhere to a consistent upload uploading schedule. I just can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it with what I do, I have different, you know, requirements each semester. I'm on like a 10-week semester period, and like I don't know what's coming each semester, and so I may have more work in one semester than I do in another. Like the last, when I started recording episodes again, I actually was in a semester where I didn't have as much to do. Mm-hmm. And so it was easier for me to be able to manage it. But now I'm to a point where I, like in my semester that I'm in now, we have a lot of extra work that I have to do. Right. And so mm-hmm. I would never be able to keep a consistent upload schedule. And I know if you follow me on Instagram, you'll have seen all the posts of me going, hey, I'm sorry that I haven't been able, I'm changing my uploading schedule.
My entire art account right now.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm alive.
Yeah, exactly. Like I would pop on there. And then like, you know, I've spoken about it in the past, but I did have, over the past couple of years, I've had a lot of health problems. That have popped up.
We're just twins at this
point. We really are. But I've had a lot of health issues that have popped up over, you know, the past 2 years. And that would, I mean, generally, it being chronically ill, it takes a lot out of you.
I'm just now figuring out a routine that works.
Same here, yeah. After getting my diagnosis like a year or two ago, like, I am...
I'm still getting diagnoses. Like,
same. I'm still taking, like, I'm still taking assessments and stuff for things, trying to figure out what the frick is going on. I got on medication, and that was something that I resisted for a really long time. And listen, I'm not here to endorse anything, but I was somebody who, I'm still am. I like natural medicine, and if you can do it, and if it works for you, great.
The medicinal herbs everybody talks about do work.
They do.
Because they are the foundation to the medicines that we have.
Exactly.
Today.
Yeah, like meadowsweet actually was the root of morphine. Like, that's how they got morphine.
Like, so it's not completely ridiculous to think that these work. They do.
They do.
I think, especially us being raised in the South, South has always had a more, because of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I'm coming from, because my great-grandmother is still alive.
Yeah. Well, also, folk magic was a big thing.
I mean, we're right next to the Appalachians. So.
Yeah, down here anyway. Like, you talk to any, you know, African-American person down here, and they know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had an African-American coworker that talked to me about putting roots on somebody. And, like, I didn't know what that was, but apparently it's rooted in folk magic down here. So, I mean, there's a lot of elements, I think, that Southerners in particular have no issue with, and one of them is medicinal stuff. And that's, again, going back to what we were talking about before mm-hmm. with the radical alt-right,
yeah.
You see a lot of them are going towards that. So it's now less, unfortunately, yeah. It's less, you know, stereotyped, but... It has
the
its
issue,
downsides.
The issue, the downside, we would say, mm-hmm. is that the world is a different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have modern medicine. Yeah.
And modern medicine is for modern diseases, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the shit we have in the air would absolutely decimate a caveman.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
We would be killing little Victorian children left and right.
You know? And also, again, mm-hmm. talking about Victorian children, mm-hmm. they were already dying left and right.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is like modernity. I don't know. Yeah. Being modern. Modern things. It's a word. I just can't think of how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I can't think of how to
pronounce it. So modern stuff brings, you know, modern solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have child labor laws now because children...
We still do. It's just constantly under attack by a certain political party.
Right. But we have them for a reason, right?
They yearn for the mines.
Yeah.
They yearn.
You know, we have a reason for why we said, yeah, maybe we shouldn't put small, tiny humans in the peak of their development in dangerous situations.
Let's put these tiny children with small, undeveloped brains
yeah.
in charge of these machines that not even
that they an can't even control. Person
knows how to control.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's crazy to me. So that's why I say, like, with, like, modern medicine and stuff, like, I tried everything natural first, and it just didn't work, and so I was like, I had to throw in the towel.
100%.
And go, okay, let's try this. And now I'm actually getting better, you know?
Yeah.
To the point where I can be overwhelmed by other stuff and not, like, and not need to, like, take breaks and all this kind of stuff. So, like, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, myself, I just got back on anxiety medication.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that was with a lot of fighting and screaming and crying.
Yeah, you know, I remember.
I really did want to be able to function by myself, but I think sometimes it's okay to admit that your problems
mm-hmm.
are always going to be too big for you.
Right, yeah.
It's okay that they're too big for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also a lot of the times people... The statement will always be, well, it's not natural. I'd rather be naturally like how I am. And I think the danger in that is that we naturally produce chemicals in our body.
Yes.
That these medications synthesize for us, right? And when you have, like, for example, anxiety medication,
mm-hmm.
it is synthesizing a hormone that you naturally have in your body that your body should naturally create that it is lacking and it cannot create it on its own.
I would love to explain mental illness as like a deficiency.
It is, yeah. It's a deficiency.
I am deficient in serotonin and dopamine mm-hmm. and whatever makes my anxiety go away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there is a medical root reason biologically that happens in order for these mental disorders and stuff to become a thing. And so it's not, you know, being on the medication, quote unquote, is not putting unnatural things in your body. It's something your body naturally makes that it is just not making.
It's not making enough.
Yeah. And a lot of the times with people who've been through traumatic situations, which is tends to be when anxiety and stuff will pop up. Anxiety and depression, it comes from a root cause, right? You don't just randomly get that. But a lot of the times, it'll help reset, medication will help reset the body to where you can eventually get off medication. Now, not everybody can.
Not everybody. There are very much, like, disorders that are permanent.
Yes.
You know, I think my disorders... ranging from depressive to dopamine, those are just going to be struggles I have for the rest of my life.
Right.
And maybe one day I will have a routine, and the economy will heal itself. And yeah. life will
How
be
How many
good,
people have been doing...
Be wars. There'll be no wars. There'll be peace on earth. And I will be able to get off my vacation.
Oh my god. The amount of money spells that I have, like, contemplated doing. So, like, I'll talk about this now, because I never used to talk about it before. I would kind of hint to it. But, you know, the two the gods that I work with, I am on the Greek pantheon, and not me personally. you know what I mean. I worship those on the Greek pantheon. And my patron deity is Hades. And I feel like I have had to go, Hades, can I please have some money? Like, way too much recently. Because, like, I've had so many instances in my life, and I use it sparingly. I think it's the only reason why I get money when I go and ask. But, like, I've had so many instances in my life and in my, since becoming pagan, where I'll be like, Hades, can I have some money, please? And then I get, like, you know, I get, like, a random check for, like, $25 or something in the mail, next week. And I'm like, thank you. So now it's just been more recent. Like, I keep doing it more often because this economy is just, it's bad.
I mean, it's bad everywhere, but if you think, like, I don't know where listeners would be in the U.S. But if you're not in the South and you think it's bad there...
It's bad here.
Like, it's crazy.
It's really bad here, yeah. And I know I have a lot of people who are foreign, too. I have a lot of international listeners as well. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad here.
So yeah, I know it's going downhill for everybody.
Yeah. We're all affected. You know, it's like my rent has gone up and my pay has gone up, and yet somehow I'm poorer than I ever have been. So it sucks. But
my pay somehow moves as slow as a snail. And, you know.
Yeah, and you just can't keep up.
And inflation is moving like a cheetah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. That is very true. That's also, like, some of it, too. I hate to say it, and I know there's a lot of people who would disagree with this, but, like, some of the reason I don't practice as much as I used to is money. Like, I don't have the money to...
This is most definitely, like, a low-priority thing
for
me. Like, I need to be able to survive. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to function.
Yeah, feed myself.
And including those, there are some luxury items, including my routine, to function.
Yeah.
Because I'm mentally ill, and we have to do things.
The little treats, as they say, on the TikToks.
But, like, you know, makeup, or coffee.
Yeah, and those are fine to
I
me.
I don't take ADHD medication. I need caffeine.
You know, I'm addicted to caffeine because of college, and it never stopped. No, I think, you know, we did the episode, going back to, you know, the episode that we did on self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that a big aspect of what I learned through spirituality is taking care of yourself. To me, that is magic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't have to do the big ritual mumbo jumbo.
But, like, resetting once a week.
Is magic.
It's
meditation.
Different. It's meditating, and it's truly like you're going into an entire new phase.
Yes, it is what we always talk about with cleansing of the aura, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that being self-care, you know, I believe I talked about that in the self-care episode. But, you know, for me, that cleansing of the aura can be multiple things. So for me personally, what I've been doing recently is I will, like, I'll take a bubble bath or something. I'll get, like, the Lush. That's my little treat is, yeah. Like, I'll get, like, Lush bubble bars or, like, a big thing of, like, bubble bath.
Yeah.
And, like, a face mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I just calm down. I watch, like, a random documentary on some bullshit that, like, I care about for 2 seconds. And I'll sit in the bathtub and I'll have my face mask on and in the bubble bath. And that's what I do. And that is my reset. And it helps. It helps so much. And to me, that in of itself is magic. I used to hear people joke about, like, how, what are some things that you consider magic that is not, like, typically magic? And people would say Lush. I totally agree with that. Like, Lush to me is magic.
Oh, yeah. I think my Switch is magic, if that's the case. I turn that on, and I'm like, nothing.
Transported to a new world. Yeah.
Oh, man. There's so many things. My headphones.
Yeah.
Put those on.
Whew. Magic.
Gone.
Music. Magic.
Done. Over with.
Yep, that's a spell.
Sleeping?
Sleeping. Great. Magic. But all that to say, I think that there, you have to have a sense of priority, almost, like,
yeah,
with when it comes to spirituality and your faith. And I think for both of us, at least I can say, is, like, the priority was not these big freaking rituals. It's, like, finding the magic in little things in our lives. That's what's keeping us going.
Finding meaning everywhere.
Yeah.
Looking up. Being able to stay present and look into the skies, stop and smell the roses.
Yeah. All very, very popular things that you're taught very early on when you get into spirituality are those things. Being present, being mindful.
Yeah.
It's not stuff that's taught in Christianity.
Mm-mm.
No. Like, having an understanding of your body is not taught. Being okay with your body, not taught in Christianity. And that was, like, a huge change for me personally, and probably for you as well, of getting comfortable with the concept of being in tune with my body.
Yeah.
And I think that was why I had to do all the big rituals and stuff, because I wasn't connected.
Yeah.
Quite yet. And now I am. I feel like I can have those moments of cleansing and I don't have to, like, freaking ward my entire home because I trust, you know, that my mind and my energy is enough.
Yeah.
To keep stuff out. I don't need the physical representations of that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, especially now, to get a little personal with me, breaking out of almost a 5-year depressive episode.
Yeah.
And you helping me clean my room and now me regularly keeping it clean.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is cleansing enough. Right? Like, I don't need to sage and I don't need to say my prayers or paint little charcoal crosses that kind of look a little demonic.
Listen, her room looked real great. Like, we're joking about her being a Satanist. Like, she...
I was bordering, you know?
Yeah, she was bordering.
I still call him Daddy Lucy, and that's all that matters.
No, she just had, like, crucifixes, like, all over her, like, room that was done in, like, charcoal water.
Okay, and I needed so many physical representations of it, but now I have proven to myself that I'm bigger than my own body.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That was probably the main lesson I had to learn these past few years is...
Mm-hmm.
You are not the cards you dealt, which is ironically something I said to people time and time again all throughout high school.
Yeah.
But I had to learn that for myself because while I do agree with you, it doesn't come from anywhere. I do have the belief a lot of my problems were genetic, like depression.
Oh, yeah. When I say like it doesn't come from out of nowhere.
Yeah, it has to come from somewhere. Right.
Yeah, it's like in psychology, they call it like the nature versus nurture argument of like, is it genetic versus your environment?
Yeah.
Personally, I'm of the opinion that it's both.
Yeah.
So like you can be genetically predispositioned to have depression and never have depression in your life because you didn't have something that triggered it.
Yes.
But you can also be more susceptible to depression and go through something, it trigger it, and then bam,
and
there you go.
I have an identical rap sheet, as I like to call it, to my mom.
I love that.
So, you know, my whole life, my cards that were dealt were, how do I get happy? How do I be content?
Mm-hmm. It's the generational trauma, as they like to say, right? Some of this stuff is rooted in, like, actual, like, science.
People are doing studies now of, like, how... Because they've seen that it can mess with genetics, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, can trauma truly change your genetic coding?
Right, yeah.
And just, like, put itself in there.
Right.
I would have to agree, as my proof from beforehand, I'm identical to my mom.
Yeah.
But to overcome that and to be content, I had to learn was to overcome what cards I was dealt, understand I was dealt those cards. And know that whatever you believe is there, the universe, they would not give you intelligence and consciousness if they didn't think you could overcome it.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. And I know that sounds very Christian. I know some people might have been a little triggered there.
My grandmother used to say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle.
Yes. And I like to joke that God makes many mistakes about me, but that's
so
the truth.
Yeah, my thing was always, when I was a Christian, was God gives you the oars, but you have to row.
Yes.
Like, you can, which I still feel that way. Like, I do feel like the universe gives you the tools to fix things, but you are the one that is responsible.
Yes.
It's like in psychology, and just the reason why I'm bringing this up so much is I'm currently in my master's for psychology. You know, in psychology, we always talk about, like, when it comes to therapy, I can sit here and do every theory and, you know, assessment and, you know, possible thing that I can do for you. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to heal yourself, you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is root in that, like psychologically speaking, you have to be the one to want to change it.
Yes. I think free will and choice is something that also doesn't get talked a lot about in the church, no. But it's very important, I think, in every religious space.
They like to talk about it in one specific sense, depending on what denomination you're in. Yeah.
That is the only choice you have.
Yeah, and some of them believe that you don't have a choice, period.
Right. And so, getting back on topic to what I was going to say, if I can get back there.
Yeah.
is learning all of that makes everything much easier.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that in a sense you start to worship yourself, but not in a God complex way.
Yeah.
And more in a I am a part of all of this way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Because like for me, I've always said I don't, like for example with like gods and deities, right? I don't worship deities. I work with deities. Yes,
I work with deities.
Because I see myself as part of a bigger picture of something greater than myself. Mm-hmm. And that in of itself, for me personally, it helps so much. Like it's not just me. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not my in Wicca, we call it, like, there's the spider web of life, right? Like,
yes.
Your actions trickle down. It's the reason why we have the read, and harm none, do as ye will.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of it. And so mm-hmm. that's why Wicca, in particular, I identified with so heavily, because that's how I've always approached things in my life.
Karma.
Yeah, it's kind of like karma.
You know my belief system. I'm very much about balance.
Yeah.
Everything is balance.
Yeah, you can't have the light without the dark.
You can't know the good without the bad.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you can't condemn the bad.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
The whole point of knowing good is so you condemn the bad.
Right, exactly. Right?
The whole point of knowing it's dark when it's light is so you can turn on the light.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You gotta seek the good.
Yes. And without, you need motivation for that. I think that's a huge point for mm-hmm. me. That a lot of new age religions, I would say, don't really talk about enough.
I agree.
Everything's so polarized everywhere. I think it's heavily concentrated mm-hmm. in America.
Yeah.
But it's everywhere. You know? I've noticed it everywhere. I think it's why we're where we are.
No, I agree. 100%. I've also seen that too, because I think some of the reason, kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier with Wicca being kind of condemned in online spaces and the reason why I started the podcast, one of the things that I saw very commonly when I started, you know, stepping away from the label of Christian and wanting to find something else to identify myself as, because I wanted that label. I'm a person that likes labels. That's just me. That's who I am. But one of the things that I saw was that people really did not like the fact that in Wicca we have the "and harm none, do as ye will."
Yes.
Because people want to do whatever they want to do. And I think, and this is just my opinion, and I follow several high priestesses that probably would agree with me on this. But just because we're saying harm none doesn't mean you have to take shit from other people.
Yes.
And sometimes the balance, talking about balance of good and evil, right, mm-hmm. is something that we Wiccans do believe. If you are justified in an action, do the curse.
Yeah.
Do the hex. Like, there...
I think I talked about this early on with you, too, as well.
Yeah.
Like, even before we went in depth with this.
Right.
About how, I instinctively believed in the sentence matches the crime, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you have to sit down and have introspection
mm-hmm.
before any of that.
Right.
And nobody wanted to do that. They just wanted to act out on emotion. And emotion is good. I'm an artist. That's my mm-hmm. whole shtick.
Yeah, emotion is a very powerful thing when it comes to magic, but it also can be a downside.
Yes, and emotion also has a huge point in mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't listen to the logical side of yourself every once in a while, that's where we get into delusional disorders.
Right, exactly.
That's another pipeline I've seen mm-hmm. over the years, is people have found out that they just have literal disorders.
Yeah.
Delusional disorders.
Oh, yeah. I know people personally that definitely would fall in that category.
And I'm just, that's balance. You need to listen to your heart, to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You need to weigh out the pros and cons.
Yeah.
And in my personal experience, obviously, like I said, do the curse if it's the crime, like you said.
Yeah.
The universe dishes it out eventually.
Mm-hmm. All you are doing is you are, to me, spells are petitioning of the universe to say, hey.
Make it a little more of a priority.
Yeah. I'm bringing this to your attention.
Yeah.
It's
like paying for first class mail.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's our homing pigeon. No, and for me, always when I did, you know, anytime I've ever done a spell, I've always been someone who did loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it involved another person, there's a loophole in there that frees that person from the spell if this particular criteria is met.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I don't believe in doing magic that affects other people willy-nilly.
Yes.
Like, I want to give, because I believe in free will,
mm-hmm.
I believe that free will is more powerful than than magic, because I believe everyone has their own magic, whether they know it or not, but they have their own magic, and so I believe that a lot of times that stuff can be counteracted, yes. Right? And so that's why I always would put that, like, I would put loopholes
mm-hmm.
in magic when it came to other people. And obviously, if it was like, I wanted, like, you know, $10, I'm not gonna be like, well, hey, if, like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I would always say, like, it it would harm none.
Yes.
As long as it harms nobody, can I have this, please? Yes. Like, so.
Yeah, I did a loophole. I can't remember what my loopholes were when I did stuff.
I forget.
I feel like it was like an expiration date rather than like.
Yes, you always did expiration dates.
I did
because we found that out real easy, real quick. Yeah, was it like so a month funny. After that one ended?
Oh yeah,
immediately changed.
It was immediately, everything changed.
Yeah,
it was insane. But that was my thing. I was like, let it be for this time. Like going back to my analogy with the sentencing, that's how I really treated it. I was like, this is the sentence I desire. I'm prosecuting this person like a lawyer. This is the sentence I require to be happy. And the universe is like, are you willing to pay the consequences if we don't agree with the weight of the crime? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, take it.
Yep.
And I took it.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the other thing too. I see it all the time, but it's like people will do these hexes and curses on just like anybody, willy-nilly, right? They don't like somebody, curse them.
And then a couple months later, they'll be like, why is my life?
Yeah, why is my life so like bad? And it's like, maybe.
What are you putting out there, my guy?
Right, exactly. The stuff that you put out in the universe is what you get back.
Everything that goes out comes right back around.
Mm-hmm, it's a cycle. So it's like, if I'm putting out good energy, then I'm going to give back good energy. Yes. And I really feel like that's why, for me personally, I just don't need to do spells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had instances, you know, where I'll do a spell, you know, because I need something. And I don't want to, you know, treat the universe like a wish-granting factory, but essentially that is what spells are. It is a lack of something.
Yeah.
I lack something, and I need that.
I need something. That's all it is. It's
yeah.
like prayer.
Yeah, it's like prayer. It's always been my version of prayer, right? I need something. I need help in this problem or whatever, you know, and I'm asking for the universe to help me with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I've learned in my spiritual journey contentment. And I think that that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to, I'm content where I'm at. I'm content with the gods that I work with. I'm content with my viewpoint
mm-hmm.
on how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to study or learn or petition the universe anymore.
Yeah.
Because I have everything that I need.
Yeah. I have learned everything I needed to from this path.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken everything that it's given me. Mm-hmm. I am content where this aspect of my life is at this point in time.
Yeah. And then to that point, at this point in time, it may change.
Oh, yeah.
Things may happen in my life that, you know, I know there are things in the back of my mind that I've had conversations with my deities. The whining is my dogs, by the way. I've had conversations with my deities where there probably will be a point where I will check in on that, you know, the particular things that I wanted to do in my life and goals that I wanted to do. But right now, that's not where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm not going after those goals. I have other goals that they have set me on the path of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need any guidance. And I think what the huge thing for me in terms of my spiritual journey, this is really what I think it boils down to. My enlightenment was learning to not lean on other people to tell me what to do.
Yes.
It was going from being in the church, being told what to do your whole life, mm-hmm. how you're supposed to act, you know, what you're supposed to do, who you're supposed to marry, all that kind of stuff, right? What job you're supposed to have, like your role in life, like all that kind of stuff.
Everything was micromanaged with you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so going from that and then kind of being thrown into the, well, what do I do now? I did lean on my deities and my angels and spell work as a way to tell myself what do I need to do. And yeah, I fell on my face a couple times because I was like, why did you tell me to do this? It's like, well, that's what you wanted.
And you'll probably fall on your face a couple times more, but
yeah, exactly. But it's my choice. And that's the point that I eventually got to the point where I realized it was one big situation that happened. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Where I was constantly asking my deities and my angels, like, what do I do about this? What action do I take here? What do I do? And do I think they misguided me? No. I think they told me exactly what I wanted to hear because they knew that was what I needed to do in order to make a decision for myself.
I mean, I feel like at that point too, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're constantly asking,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, you're not listening. So go do what you want to do.
Yeah, because we know what you want to do.
Right.
So we're going to tell you to do that.
Because you're trying to get the answer you want.
Yeah, so go do it.
Go do that. Go do that. Mm-hmm. And then come back.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about where to go from now.
Right, exactly. It's like, it's almost like the kid that wants to touch the burning stove and keeps asking and asking. Yeah, fine. Touch it.
Do it. See what happens. Yeah. See the consequences of your actions.
Right. And then you're like, well, why did you tell me to touch the stove if you knew it was going to burn? Well, you kept saying that you wanted to.
I tried to tell you.
Yeah, and you didn't listen. So I told you to go ahead and do it to find out what was happening, because that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to touch the stove.
Yes, 100%.
And I think that that's also some of the reason why I don't do card readings as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. There are times when I'm like, okay, I need help here. Like, what's going on? But for the most part, I'm not trying to get every single answer about everything in the universe. I'm not trying to get direction on every single thing that I've got to do. I am simply making my own decisions because I feel like there was one last deity that came in near the end of like my spiritual mm-hmm. journey that, you know, was kind of pushing me to be my own person. That was the big thing
mm-hmm.
that this deity put me on the path to. And I think it was because I needed to be able to make my own decisions for myself.
Yes.
And now I do. I feel like I have the strength in myself through like therapy and through educating myself. Mm-hmm. I trust my own feelings. And that's something that you just don't have in Christianity. You're told not to trust yourself. You can't trust yourself.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that was one of the first lessons, but I think the overall message has been, And I won't say it's necessarily ended, because there is still lack of contentment and stuff. But
yeah.
I don't... Yeah. It never ends.
Yeah, it'll
but
never
I
end.
I figured out what the cycle. Whole goal. Yes. Mm. I figured out the cycle. I figured out the goal. It was to take my own advice, for the lack of better terms.
Yeah.
To act. To get out of my head. To act.
Yes. Same.
And to treat myself the way I want to be treated was a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Trust your gut. That was a big one for me.
Yes.
Was learning to trust my gut. And because I was constantly told that my intuition was wrong my whole life. Mm-hmm. And going from that to literally the heavens above shouting at me, for God's sake, like, listen to your gut. Listen to your intuition. I had to get that through my head.
Oh, yeah.
In that cycle of my life. Yeah, when I say journey, I mean, like, journeys are, they're not lifetime. Yeah, they're chapters. And so that chapter of my life, that was the lesson that I had to learn, was to rely on myself.
That you're bigger than your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that you're capable of whatever you put your mind to.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of you.
I agree.
I think another one I learned recently, or still learning because I'm stubborn, is to not keep kicking at shut doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just walk away from the past. Just keep walking.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep walking.
Yep. Like, the past likes to shout at you, and it's just like, no.
It gets so loud, and you're like, no, I'm done. And I can't do anything about that anymore.
Doors are shut for a reason.
That's a huge thing that I keep saying to myself. I can't do anything about that.
Yep.
I can't do anything about it. What's done is done.
Nope, doors are shut for a reason.
Yes.
That's very true. Well, do you have any kind of final thoughts or, you know, about our conversation that we've kind of had today? Anything, any parting words?
This has been a journey for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I've lived a century in these 4 to 5, 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm glad it was you, though.
Yeah, me too. I would say I can't think of a better way to end this chapter in my life than with you, because you were who I started it with.
Aw, thanks. Yeah.
So, I did want to endorse other people, because I used to listen to a lot of witchy podcasts. That's some of the reason why I started this in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so, because I'm no longer going to be posting, I want to give people other resources. So one that I would say would be a good recommendation is, Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. They do, similar stuff to what I do, where those two ladies, they go through topics weekly and back and forth, you know, conversation and stuff like that.
We love them.
Yes. And then also the Witch Bitch podcast.
Yes.
Which is our friends that have that podcast. So I would say that's another good one to go listen to. I know that they're actively involved in the pagan community around here.
And have been for a long time.
So long time.
I can guarantee with more sincerity that you will not have to deal with a post like this from them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're committed.
Yeah, they're far, far more committed, and one of the ladies actually owns a pagan shop. So, like, it's kind of her job.
Yeah.
Unlike me, this was not my job. This was just something I was interested in. But yeah, I mean, it has been fun. Over the past few years that I've done this, I've loved everyone I have talked to. I appreciate everyone who has ever sent me a compliment about the podcast or told me that they appreciated, you know, me posting. I'm sorry that I'm not going to get to finish the Wheel of the Year episodes. Maybe one day I may come back and do those last two episodes, because I think we had Samhain and Yule were the last two that were left. I may come back and do those, but you know what? I mean, if you want good resources on that particular topic, there is a podcast called Witchy Woman Podcast. It is no longer around. She stopped doing it a while back, but I know she has Wheel of the Year episodes, and mm-hmm. hers were fantastic. She's some of the inspiration behind the ones that I did.
Yeah.
So if you ever want more information on that than what I was able to give, you know, you have her, a lot of my sources and stuff, you know, Scott Cunningham was a big one for me. A lot of my information came from him regarding specific Wicca things. Learn Religion is another resource that I used to use a lot. LearnReligion.com. Their Wicca and pagan particular page is phenomenal. It's really good. They've got recipes. They've got rituals, deities, like everything on there. And it's every religion. It's not just paganism and Wicca as well. But you know, there's a lot of great resources out there. And that is my last and final call to people, is that if you're interested in something, research it. Like,
yes,
that is the essential, like, the point of this podcast was to provide information so that people were not going out and spreading false information or like harmful things that would freak people out, right?
Media literacy is becoming a dying art.
And it is
becoming an actual emergency.
Yes.
In the Western world, at
yes.
the very least. So take this piece of advice, this last call,
yes.
into every aspect of your life.
Research it. And for God's sakes, read.
Please.
Read books.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
if you have a reading problem, go to the doctor and figure out what it is. Like, is it dyslexia?
Audiobooks.
Or do you need glasses?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? You know?
Like, audiobooks are also reading, in my opinion. Like,
truly, honestly.
However you have to find a book and consume that, like, consume it.
If they don't source their material when they're talking opinions.
Yeah, it's not good.
Do not trust them.
Yeah, trust but verify.
Yes,
I feel
trust
like,
but verify.
I think is the best way to go about it. Like, any kind
Never
of education.
Word.
No. And every source that I've ever used on this podcast was sources that either came from people who were considered to be, like, authority figures, like Scott Cunningham being,
yes.
he was kind of the godfather
the
of,
yeah. of the community tend to be where we like towards side.
Right, yeah, exactly. If you're looking at that kind of, you know, sources, that's one, but also if they include references in the back of their books, that was also some of the other ones that I would use a mm-hmm. lot of the times. I would use ones from, like, high priests and high priestess mm-hmm. that were, you know, they dedicated their lives to this one particular topic. That's the people that you want to listen to, not some random person with dreads that's white on Instagram.
God, do not. My God. Any fast form media, just don't.
Just don't do it.
Just
TikTok
don't.
Is not a source.
It is not valid. It is a fun little silly thing.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Go.
And don't hex the moon.
There are literal, please. There are literal, like, channels dedicated to online essays.
Yes.
YouTube is such a better
yes.
form.
Yes, YouTube is so much better.
A lot of these places, honestly.
Tumblr, oh, yeah.
You could even find old Tumblr
Yeah,
accounts.
Like, Tumblr used to be, like, a good source for stuff, because people would get on there, and they'd have references. References, that's where...
References.
That's where you want somebody who is educated enough that they're like, I have read all this crap, and I have seen all the different sides of this particular thing, that I am unbiased, here's my sources... It's the same way when you're in school. You have to have sources for your papers. You can't just write bullshit, right?
100%. We need to value academia again.
I agree. Yeah. And that was a huge thing with this podcast for me, because that is a huge piece of who I am,
yeah.
is like verifying information.
Yes.
So I would say that would be my last little tidbit of advice from your neighborhood witch, Sam and Hannah.
The kooky ladies of the block.
Yeah. You're witches of the South. Hey. It's the show. We've said it. We can end it now.
Well, we finally did it.
Yay. We mentioned it. But all that to say, we're getting goofy. We probably need to end this. All that to say, thank you so, so much for listening over these past few years. It means a whole lot to me. You know, if I ever decide to do anything else in the internet space, you know, I hope I can run into people that knew this podcast and learn something from it, and or just appreciate to listen to me babble about random topics for, you know, 30 minutes. And, you know, I really, really appreciate anybody who ever took the time to listen. And I, you know, obviously these episodes will stay on Spotify until Spotify is dead. So, or they take me off the platform. Who knows? But they will be there, and you can always go back and reference them and listen to them. But yeah, I think it's just time to end it properly. So I hope you've enjoyed this little interview / chat.
Conversation
about all sorts of things. I don't even know what I'm going to name this episode.
It's an episode.
It is an episode.
It's a podcast episode.
It is a podcast episode. Maybe that's what the title's going to be. It's a podcast episode.
It's a podcast episode.
But anyway, as always, you can find me on my social media. I probably will not respond. I don't know if I'm going to be checking my social media or not after this point. I may even get rid of the accounts. Who knows? But I am, you know, at _ Wiccan Witch of the South _. Probably will keep that for business purposes for the tarot reading. I will continue to do tarot readings locally. So if you have had an opportunity to meet me at any of the festivals that we've done, I really enjoyed that, and I probably will continue to do that because it's way easier for me to spend 8 hours of my day on a Saturday doing readings for people versus taking multiple days out of my week to research. So, you know, I'll keep, if I ever do any kind of local readings or something like that, I probably will put it on my Instagram. And if you want to write me some lovely messages, you know, telling me how much you enjoyed the podcast or cuss me out for not continuing it, you can reach me at wiccanwitchofthesouthpod@gmail.com. But yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and blessed be.
Blessed be.